Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Tonight on Mages, Sages, and Seers, I am proud to bring you Star and Ravenhawk, who will be talking about Witches Fest USA 2021. Star and Ravenhawk has been organizing and serving the New York City pagan community since 1995. She has enjoyed sharing with others her many passions for the craft, including lectures, workshops, public rituals, celebrations, and festivals. Formally trained in the Cabot tradition in 1994 and 1995, completing a first and second degree under the wise teachings of her elder, Lori Cabot. Trained with the Minuan Sisterhood for 2 years under the tutelage of Mary. In 2007, she founded the New York City Wiccan Family Temple, WFT Academy of Pagan Studies, and Dragon Academy, so that our children can begin to learn and be raised in our paths. The temple went on to become the first temple in New York City that trains and ordains its people under the NYC Wiccan Family Temple. In 2012, she also founded Witches Fest USA, a fundraiser for the New York City Wiccan Family Temple to help us attain our own space in New York City. Come join us at this amazing summer pagan street fair in the heart of New York City. And yes, I will be there. Over the years, she has performed many dedications, wiccanings, hand fastings, house blessings, house clearings and cleansings, protections, rites of passage, memorials and last rites, past life removal, revocations, releasings, and cleansings. She is a reverend, high priestess, teacher, and elder, intuitive witch, tarot advisor, and candle therapist with over 25 years of experience. Tarot, witchcraft studies, spell crafting, theology, and much, much more. Greetings, Star and Ravenhawk. I'm honored to have you here again. The year has passed so quickly.
I know. Thank you. That was quite a mouthful.
Well, you're very accomplished. You've done a lot.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even remember that. Okay. Getting on there in years, right? But thank you. The year did go by fast, right? Wow.
Yeah. Yes, it did. I couldn't believe it when we were in contact again that all this time had passed. It seems like a month or two ago.
I know, right? It seems like it was not that long ago. You're right. Wow. Time just kind of flies by, even though we were on lockdown and the pandemic and all the different things, which many of us still are. We're coming to the near end of it. Hopefully.
Yes, and that's a good thing. Strangely, though, almost everyone I know has been phenomenally busy during this time. Maybe not busy in the same way as before, but I don't know anybody who's been taking it easy. Everyone's been really busy moving things ahead in directions that they might not have been able to accomplish if we didn't have the pandemic.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because we were speaking about that on one of our shows, and we were saying that in a way, the pandemic has opened up all these other magical portals for us to be able to carry on with. And you're right, we've all been extremely busy, and it feels like we should come up to air at some point, because we were all physically going to these different things, and instead we've all been doing it online. And it's made it where we kind of become inundated in a way. You know what I mean? We kind of schedule ourselves so tightly now because we sit online, you know? So we're kind of going crazy. I know what you mean. It's been extremely busy.
But it's another good thing it's done is it eliminated time and space in a way because of the new way of communicating through Zoom and Skype and all these other ways there are now.
Yeah.
You don't have to be physically present, and whatever you do will be recorded and other people can experience it afterwards. So in that way, it's opened up many new doors and made what we do a little bit easier.
Yes, absolutely. I actually considered it, I said to people that we've been all expanded into a whole other magical portal that we all now have access to, because all of this, the internet, things like Zoom, Crowdcast, all of that. To me, those are all our new magical tools that we've all learned to adapt to. You know, and in a way, we were kind of afraid to, not afraid, but, you know, we felt that that would limit us. And we didn't quite approach it, you know, at the beginning in that way. And then the pandemic kind of forced us to adapt. And we do what we do best, adapt and fit in and make it work.
Oh, most certainly so. I'm very excited. And would you care to share a little bit about your vision for 2021 and Witches Fest USA?
Oh, boy. Yeah. We were not sure at first we were going to be able to do the in person because we, of course, were waiting to see what's going to happen. And then the city said that we can go ahead. We are one of the first street fairs for the year.
Yay!
I shouldn't say for the year, but since the pandemic period, that's back. I know, right? Like, yay! It's a bit of you know, like, you know, are we ready or, you know, or what we're doing, you know? But they said we weren't ready, and we're there. What we decided to do was not just do it in person like we've always done, but since we've opened up the portal to doing it online like we did last year, why not incorporate all both of them? So we decided to do it as a three-day event, Friday and Sunday, both online, and Saturday back to the way we did it in person on the street as the street fair on Astor Place between Broadway and Lafayette. With the vendors, we're not allowed to do more than 50%, so it wouldn't be 60 vendors that we've had in the past. It'll be more around the lines of 30. They've given us guidelines with, you know, because it's the first set of events that weekend begins, the first set of outdoor events permitted, we have to adhere to all the CDC guidelines. So we have to mask up still and all of that because we're meeting with many people and we're not sure who's vaccinated or not. So it's a whole set of rules
right.
They decided that they're going to give us and make everyone, at least the presenters and everyone know that they have to adhere to, which we're actually, I'm quite happy to do it. I am not, you know, comfortable without the mask anymore. It's interesting
right.
How we get used to things, right? And I'm all cool because I have all these cool masks, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm okay with doing it. I'm fine. So, yeah, so we're doing all 3 days. And it kind of left it, again, open to us being able to have access to the world of people wanting to come in. We've got people from Germany, Australia, England, Ireland. I think we have someone from Wales as well. Venezuela, Brazil, Africa, like all these
wow.
people from many parts of the world. And, of course, the United States, of course, are joining us for different workshops. So that's why the schedule is driving me nuts trying to figure out because I have to kind of put in the time zones and make sure everybody fits well and all of that. So it's going to take me a minute to prepare the schedule, but I'm working on it.
It's
wonderful and exciting. Sorry, what's that?
No, you'll do great with the schedule. You did the other time that I was involved as well.
Yeah, I did. But now it's kind of like the day and the you know what I mean? So it'll work out. It'll work out. It always does.
Yes, no.
You know? So we're happy. We're happy.
That's very good. I will be presenting on the planetary powers of Mount Olympus, which will be
yes.
something
yes.
that people are familiar with. It's in the back of every magic book, but not from an Olympian perspective. And I'll be introducing the ancient and then the more modern theosophies that kept this information alive. It was hidden in magical logic
yes.
while now we commemorate it with the days of the week. So it'll be kind of like an expansion of something I talked about last year.
Right. And that's what I mean. You'd be getting access to, I mean, last year, I think we even with online or the 2 days we had 30-something presenters.
Yeah.
This year we have 54 presenters and
wow.
we have a little bit over 100 workshops.
Wow.
So people are going to get a lot for the $95. And the $95
mm-hmm.
covers the people online. Of course, Saturday is, as usual, free in person. On Astor Place, it's always been and always will be free in person. But the online part is not because, again, we're offering over 100 workshops for $95. So
right.
that's less
plus
than a dollar.
And
so that's amazing. That's amazing.
It is amazing. And you have vendors and, yeah,
yeah.
so people can do their shopping both online and in person. So that's
right.
Well.
And exactly. And we have performers. And, again, wonderful Incubus and Succubus is back, and they are in where are they, in Poland, if I remember correctly, and Tuadea is in Tennessee. Somebody else I forgot that's in England as well, and they're going to come in live streaming because they said they would love to join us again. So that was really cool to have these people say that they're all going to come in with us again. And, you know, it will be really wonderful to have all these different people come in again and be there with us. We joined by a pagan rapper named Cloud Donahue.
Cool.
So I thought that was pretty cool because I'd never thought of it like that. And he presented this and I said, oh, wow, this is great. You know, come on in. Most of our performers are in person because, again, that's preferable. We have Witch Mask Day that's going to be there, Whimsical Hits New York, Dark Moon Spirit. We have Draven Ashley. I mentioned Incubus and Tuadea. They're going to be online. And then Joseph Monteleone, he's also a professional dancer, and he wants to perform as well. So we welcome them all to be there. And we will be having a live DJ as well, Ian Ford, and maybe DJ Xtine. But the live part is still alive, but it's just half of what it's meant to be, because that's just the way it is, that the times that we're living in. So that'll be fun. And then we don't have the only thing we don't have in person this year is the parade, because they're not permitting that part as yet.
Okay.
But that's okay. That's still, you know, we'll bring back the parade next year. But in the meantime, everything else is there. Yes. Saturday. And then, you know, we begin on Friday. And the one thing, too, this year, the platform that we're using makes it where if you eat, because there's so many workshops, like we said, over 100 workshops. So whatever you don't see, you're going to be able to see, even if you take 6 months doing it, because once you're registered, you're able to access it and see it until you've seen all of them.
Wow.
And actually, that also, we forgot about this part, that also, if anyone misses the actual live event, they're welcome to see it and still pay for it throughout the next 6 months or whatever and still view all the workshops and performances and everything else.
That is great, and that really opens it up until the next one. Are you planning on putting them on DVD or something after that, and this is where people can...
I think we may just leave it up there under the WitchFest USA 2021. So anytime anybody wants to, because we're not offering the same workshop each time.
Right.
So since they're all different each time, people will be learning different things, so they're welcome to keep, you know, to register for the old one. And when we have the new one, new people, a new workshop. So it's all like having this learning tool that's online there for you to use. We haven't decided how long we'll keep it up for, but it'll be up there for a while for accessibility.
Well, that is great. And that's a great service to the community as well.
Actually, you know what? That idea you had of the DVD, we made, who knows, because we hadn't thought of that. We just thought of, you know, being able to access it on demand afterwards and things like that. But that may not be a bad idea to have it on DVD for people, just for posterity's sake, that this actually existed in this time. And this is what we were able to accomplish with it, you know. So it's kind of cool. That's a good idea. Thank you for that idea.
You're very welcome. Because some older people, and I count myself in that number, are not totally comfortable with online, even though we do things online. So I still have my collection of DVDs, and I prefer to have something on a hard disk that I can touch and put on a shelf and take off a shelf and put in my DVD player. You know, so that's what I thought that.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That's a great idea. Thank you. I think we will add that on. I will make sure to let the board know about that and see if we can find someone to help us put them on DVD. That would be fantastic.
Now,
and catch the performances as well.
Yes. Yes, you could even, with all the things you have going on, you could even make several DVDs. You could have one with performances. You can have one. You could separate the lectures into themes and put the themes that are similar on a DVD, like have a subject.
Good idea. Thank you. I appreciate all those ideas because we're all open to so many things. And I think just expanding our minds and getting ideas from people can make it even bigger and better of an experience for everyone. Because like you said, I didn't even think of that part that, you know, we're all thinking everyone's online. But you're right. I am one of them myself. I'm in that category with you because I love how I have the Fire Stick on my TV. I can watch all these movies, but I have got to have my hard DVD, Blu-ray and all of them. I've got to have it because just in case, at least I know
right.
I have access to them to always see, you know, because you can't always rely on things working on the television, you know, but your DVD. So it's cool. Yeah, very good idea.
I learned that lesson. My son had gotten me a Kindle. And so I started putting things on the Kindle, and then I started selling some of my books. You know, they were taking up a lot of space, and I had like thousands of books on my Kindle. Then my Kindle broke. So after that, I told myself, no, keep the hard copy. These are good to have, but if they break, you lose access to everything, you know. So
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. So very good idea. I will let the board know, and we will find hunt down and find someone who can put them on DVD for us in a
themed
manner who can always access them, you know, be able to buy them. And all the money that we collect, as per usual, we give to different charities. And this
right.
year we've expanded a bit. We seem to expand a lot more because there seems to be more that's necessary. So St. Jude approached us. We've given to them years ago, but again now, Feed America, of course, and City Harvest. And we give them always the hashtag, which is giving back, so they know that it's us and don't say anybody else but us.
How is the temple coming along, the Wiccan Family Temple? How did the pandemic affect that?
Well, it was interesting. We went online. Everything's been done online. All our classes, everything now has been done online because the building was closed that we did everything physically in. The park did not allow any gatherings, so we could not do any of that. So we had to adapt. So we went online, and now everybody's like, are we going to stay online? Because are we really, you know, now we have people from all over the country that has joined
right.
us. So we're kind of like, okay, we may have to keep doing it this way because we don't want those people, we've been there for them throughout this pandemic. And they come faithfully every month to either the Sabbats or the Esbats and things like that. So we don't want to put them back in that category where they can't access us anymore. So I think we're going to have to stick with it somehow and make it work.
It seems like this pandemic is helping us develop a more global consciousness and a more global way of doing things. So whether
yeah,
we want
yeah.
that or not, it forced us to do it, and it's good.
Yeah, I believe so, because I think in a way we kind of look at this world as this gigantic sphere rather than and not see ourselves in each other's spaces or places rather and empathize. And I think when things like the crowdcast or Zoom has made us learn to empathize with those in another part of the world because they meet with us and they talk with us and we realize, wow, we all have something that we can see ourselves relatable to
mm-hmm.
as well as share our experiences and our ceremonies and different things and be there supportively with people to help one another. We've even done the community group therapy because of the pandemic. A lot of people reached out to us saying wherever they are in the world, whether they're in the Bible Belt or different places and that they don't have anyone to reach out to and they feel so lost and alone.
Right.
So by doing that, people come on, you know, we do it twice a month and even people in Brazil have come on with us and things like that because they are, whether they're LGBTQ and or any other things, they come on there and they feel like they're connecting. So it's opened up a lot of things where we can be more supportive of people globally. You know, so I see it as a magical tool that just kind of presented us with ideas and thoughts and said, help yourselves. Let's do something bigger. So, yeah.
You certainly are doing that, and that's a great thing.
Oh, thank you. And we just wanted to help people with it, you know, and I'm glad we were able to help.
How do you see knowing now what you know with the new technologies, how do you see, and now you're doing a hybrid online and in person, how do you see this evolving like in the next 10 years or so?
Hi, oh my goodness. I kind of think that I don't think we have a choice anymore, but we've kind of evolved into going global with it, you know, evolved into, I can see it becoming maybe, you know, 4 days eventually and just, you know, beginning on the Thursday. So it has 3 days online. Who knows what it's going to be? But I definitely think that the combination of the in-person as well as the online is going to have to stay. I think it's bred its own way into it kind of a thing and kind of connected everything. And this way we are reaching many other people that we would not have been able to otherwise. Or people who have said for years, I would love to come to New York and do this event with you guys, but I'm not able to, whether it's financially or physically or whatever it is, and now we're trying to give them that experience. I didn't want to promise this, but this is what we're going to attempt. On Saturday, we're going to attempt to live stream it on Saturday, so even if people are not able to experience the workshops and us physically being there, that they can see and enjoy what we are presenting there on Saturday. So we're working on that aspect of it.
Wow, that is great.
Yeah,
I know,
so they can at least feel some of it, you know?
I know some covens have started having their rituals online, you know, virtually. And I've heard stories about that, but it seems to be all in all working, even though it's not the same as being there in person. People are saying that there's no travel time. You don't need to worry about the weather. You don't need to worry about traffic. You don't have to worry about, you know, going out to eat beforehand or afterwards, you know, so people are starting to virtue in doing it that way. And as you said, you know, people who couldn't attend before because they moved out of the area, now they're able to attend and participate. So it allows you to reconnect with people who can no longer attend and to connect with people who haven't yet attended. And so that's a good thing as well.
Yeah. I think it's just opened us up to literally the world. If anyone wants to join us, you know, the times may not always be the most perfect for some parts of the world, but they can certainly join us with ritual, you know, whenever they can feasibly do so, or with any other things that we have going on. So it's kind of cool. But in regard to, like, Witches Fest, they would be able to access it at their convenience, and that's the best part of it.
And how many different traditions would you say are represented at the Witches Fest?
Oh, my goodness. This year, I am still going through some of it. It's nice finally having some druids step in and say they would like to do something or say something or say their part, because they usually, at least the American versions of them, usually have a tendency to not want to participate with witches. But, you know, I don't see, it's called Witches Fest, but it's not only witches. It's everybody of all denomination and path and tradition. At least that's the way we see it. Again, like I said, that the name itself, Witches Fest, came about because I approached, you know, the one in Europe, right? That's all across Europe and Wales and everything. Witch Fest is what they call them, and I asked their permission if we can use their name in the United States, and they said sure, just add a little letter or something that's different, and that's what I did with the S in the middle, and I called it that. But then I've noticed, and it's been, this is our 10th year, and I've noticed that there are so many Witch Fests out there now. I'm like, what happened? You know, there are many of them now. And I'm like, they don't even realize that it came from something that is from in Europe. So when you type in the word, the one in Europe comes up first.
Well, that's
so
good.
It has to be. That's the reason. Huh?
Well, that's good at least. They're still, they started it, so they should appear first.
Right, right. You know, so you see them first because that's what, I think it's called the, by run by the group Children of Artemis, I think it was called. I remember correctly. But yeah, they even told Christopher Penzack that they were so surprised that someone would call to ask their permission. And I said, why not? You guys had the name, you know, why would I not respect that and ask your permission? It's only right. Thought anyways, you know? So, you know, I was honored for them to even say, go ahead and do it. You know, I don't like people doing that to me. So I thought it was just respectful.
And I was looking at your bio before. You talk about the Minoan Sisterhood. And is the Minoan Sisterhood the one that was associated with a magical child in the warlock shop with Lady Rhea? Is that the
Minoan? Yes,
the
yes.
Several of them now, yeah.
Right, right. But Mary was, and I don't remember her last name, it's been so many years.
Yeah, that
Mary
was a while
was,
ago.
I believe, part of it. I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's been a long time since I crossed paths with the Minoans in New York. I had Lady Rhea on the show, and I have Kurast, who was also part of the Magical Child Warlock Shop crew, and Laura Perry. I don't know if you know her. She started a new Minoan spiritual impulse. So the Minoans are kind of making their way back, but they've been here for quite a while.
Yeah, they have, you know, since the 80s, actually, because that's when I knew them. And I had just arrived from Canada, actually, then. And I knew them from the beginning, with, you know, when they had it on West 20th Street or something like that. In the I think it was West 20th. And then came enchantments and all of that. But, yeah, it's been a long time. And I was so new to all of it and so young. And Mary kind of took me under, you know, I don't remember what she called it. I think we were some sort of a sisterhood. And it was cool. We met behind enchantments in the garden. And we had wonderful, wonderful ceremonies. I will never forget it to this day. You know, it was always such a wonderful experience that I had there. So it's good to have all the memories.
Yes. I remember going to enchantments, and I had several conversations with Lady Rhea about candles, I remember. And, of course, I didn't know that our paths would cross again decades later when I started the podcast. But it was great that the universe allowed me to reconnect with some of the people from way back when.
And some of them, even if you don't remember their names, when you see them, you're like, wow, you're still around. This is great, you know, or different things, you know. But it's kind of cool. And it's actually with a lot of things like that, we have a tendency where a lot of them have moved out of New York because they can't afford the rent and everything here.
Right.
They've moved into areas where they're like, they're the only ones, you know what I mean? Like, and it always seems to be the words Bible Belt. And how there's nobody around like them, you know, things like that.
Yep.
So it's kind of sad to hear that they don't meet people like themselves anymore or whatever because they live where they can afford or things like that, you know, and that part is kind of sad because it means that we've all separated into these different sections, you know. So it's always been my dream to kind of have that village of serenity where it's like all these witches or pagans of different parts or whatever it is living in a village that we create ourselves and we live among ourselves. We, you know, look out for one another. I've always thought that would be so cool.
I think that's cool too. And you're doing it with Witches Fest and now with your online temple because you are including everybody. You're not excluding anybody. And I remember we had a conversation last time that you were on about how it's disturbing that within the pagan community, a lot of people are becoming tribal, but not tribal in a good way. Tribal in trying to keep people out or saying that people aren't real, you know, whatever. And that's been on the increase too, and that's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, yeah, and it's also does bother you, you know. So you're right. It that word disturbing is brought to mind, and it's kind of sad, because I think we should be more there for one another and show that we are sisters and brothers keepers, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's less of that, and that part's a shame.
I remember when we lived in Pennsylvania, we were in the middle of the woods on a mountain, and there weren't that many people around who believed in the same things that we did, but we found them all eventually. One of the things that gives pagans away is that they have pentacles that they're wearing, or pentagrams, and they put them on stickers on their car.
Yes.
So you can spot them right away. And then
we can't help ourselves.
Hey, are you Wiccan? How do you know? Well, you have a sticker on your car. You're wearing a pentagram around your neck. So lucky guess, I guess. Your tattoos.
Yes, yeah. Yes. We cannot help ourselves. We just thought, you know, we've got to, we don't care who they are. We're going to be who we are.
So that would happen there,
so
too. And eventually, I started, too, having workshops in the library. So eventually we connected with just about everybody else. And I don't know, like an hour away or so, there was a witchcraft store that had candles and books and incense. So we went there and we met even more people. So during the 10 years or so that we were there, eventually we kind of connected with everybody in the community. But it took a while because, again, you feel very isolated when you first move in.
Yeah, that's something that people have said to me over and over. So I said, I'm gonna try to do exactly that. Buy some land and see what we can accomplish.
That would be an awesome thing.
Now, I think so, yes.
Now, in addition to the spiritual things that you do, you're also very practical, too. You've done dedication, wiccanings, hand fastings, you know, the priestly or priestessly type of things, you know, that. But you've also helped people clear their auras and their houses and their objects. And are you still actively involved in helping people in a day-by-day practical way as well?
I still have, and we're doing it via Zoom.
All right.
I'm laughing because I never would have thought I would be doing it like that, but there I am. Busier than ever, booking it and doing it, yep, and I'm watching their home as they guide me through their homes or whatever it is, and we're doing it. So whatever works.
That's very, very true, whatever works. So how can somebody find what's going on with Witches Fest? You have a web page. You have I know you're on Facebook because I'm on Facebook as well. Where else can people go to find that information about what you're doing and how they can get involved in it?
Go on Instagram. We're at Witches Fest USA. And Witches is spelled WITCHS as in Sam in the middle. And then Fest, mm-hmm. FEST, Witches Fest, USA. So on Instagram, of course, Facebook. We have the event page, the 10th annual Witches Fest. You can check that. We also have a group there as well. You're quite welcome to join us there. Let's see what else. Oh, and our website, of course, witchesfestusa.org.
And what do you
and that pretty much
for?
Explains a lot of our different everything about the event and where we started and everything else. Go ahead.
And are you still looking for presenters? If somebody hearing this wants to present, or are you full?
Yes. I think it'll be no. I think we're good. I mean, why not give it as many as we can and see how many workshops we can give people? I think we've hit a little bit over 100. And we're just going to see how many we can give the people. So maybe 7 workshops at a time will be going on. So there's
wow.
No way you can be able to access everything.
No.
Last year we did 5 workshops at a time. This year it's going to be 7.
You have some really good moderators, I remember.
Yes. And this year we're doing it on a different platform rather than Zoom. We're doing a combination. We're doing it with Crowdcast because that way it's easier to be able to have it accessible like half an hour after your workshop is presented. It's ready to go for you to access to anybody else to be able to be able to access it once you've been registered. So that platform allows all of that a lot quicker and is more secure, and that way there's no mishaps like it was with trying to upload it to YouTube. There's none of that happening. It does it automatically.
Oh, fantastic.
And then we're doing the meet and greet or pagan panel live on Zoom, so that way people can ask questions interactively. You can still do that on Crowdcast, but it's just not quite the same. We don't see the audience only sees us, that kind of a thing. Pretty much, someone's messaging me at the same time, so it kind of distracted me a bit. Yeah, so that's pretty much it, you know. So I think having more presenters, I think we can take on a good maybe 7-8 more and make that work. So 7 workshops at a time.
Wow, that is ambitious. I remember a conversation for last year, and this is way more ambitious. And last year was ambitious. It's really amazing.
I know, and we're trying to do 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. so this way we can get to sleep faster, because last year was till midnight. That was hard. We're trying to stick to a more reasonable timing.
I could imagine. I can't imagine. It's mind-boggling. That is great that you're doing that.
Yeah. It's we're trying. We're trying to make it be an experience for everyone so that it doesn't feel like you're just watching a movie. We want you to feel like you're part of that movie. You're literally part of that whole thing. So, yeah.
The way technology is evolving, I'm sure by then we'll have all sorts of technology we can't even think about right now. In a few years, it'll be so commonplace.
Yeah. Actually, my goal is to have someone, just hear me, I'm letting it out into the universe.
Okay.
Form a platform that's a combination of Crowdcast and Zoom. Yes, that would be the best thing on the planet. A combination of both would be like rocking. So I would love that to be. So somebody out there, you hear me, please create it.
I hope they do. I never tried the other one, the Crowdcasting. Mm-hmm. I've never tried Crowdcasting, so I don't even know what that's like. Then I got to look it up after we finish tonight's show.
It's a lot easier for everyone to access. There's no password needed. Once they register, it knows who they are, and once the event starts, they just gotta click on it and it go. That's it. They just gotta, no passwords, no nothing. That's it. It knows who they are.
Oh, that sounds great. I have to look into that. So you have this festival once a year, and you have a weekly ritual and celebration. And you have classes going on all the time, and then you perform holy functions tied to the cycle of people's living, and you dispel negative energy through the different types of cleansings that you do. If somebody wanted to get involved with those aspects of your work, how would they go about checking out your temple, and how would they go about becoming involved in the Saturday celebrations?
Okay. In the temple, it's wiccanfamilytemple.org. So it's really simple. Wiccanfamilytemple.org, and that's with all the temple things. And the academy part is WFT, Academy of Pagan Studies.org. And if anyone needs to contact me by email, it's charmed@hotmail.com.
So it's easy to find you and to get involved in some of your other things.
Yes, absolutely. And they're welcome to join us at any time. It's on the website. I think it's more updated faster on Facebook. I'm not sure. It's just that we've got everybody doing different things because there's no way I can be all these people at the same time.
Right.
Just too much work.
How about with your dream of a community? We talked about this last year a bit as well, and shared visions for a community. That was something that I was working on too at one point when we lived in Pennsylvania. We went and we were looking at the price of land. We looked at old campgrounds, you know, that already had some structures on there. So we did a lot of work like that.
Wow.
Wants to participate in that, because that's something a lot of people who are on the same spiritual path yearn for. You know, they talk about it, and they all have lots of suggestions on what type of society can be built. And
I honestly, I formed a tiny group of like five or six of us that we call it the Witch Village of Serenity. and it's kind of private, but the idea is that honestly, I'm going to take this summer. I'm really hoping to buy it this summer, at least get a hold of, because I'm trying. I wish I had moved on it last year instead, but because the prices were cheaper then. But
right.
I've been looking at every and anything that I could find within a 2-hour distance from New York, from the city itself. And I'm looking at land. I think minimum 100 acres. I don't know how many families can be there, but if each person, you know, puts in 30,000-40,000 and have 2 acres of land, and then they could decide if they want to, I don't know, one of those, what do you call it, those prefab houses?
Yes.
Is it called prefab? Or the one thing that I just saw recently was the 3D printing houses. I was amazed at that.
Yes.
That went up in 2 days. 2 days. A 1,900 square foot 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. All concrete. I was just like floored. I was just like, and it was so cheap.
Right.
$300,000 for something like that. I am like, wow. You know, I think that would be awesome, and have like a main street, like, you know, and I'm so bad. I'm thinking like a castle, like walls surrounding us, our own, cemetery, our natural burial ground. Have things that makes us self-sufficient, so that we are self-sustaining. Like have businesses ran from there that people would come because they want to come to the Witch Village, you know, and they want to be there as a tourist and see what's going on. But then at the end of the day, they got to get out this is our village, and they can leave, and we, you know, and we lock up the gates until the next day or whatever it is. But yeah, like have a movie theater where, you know, there was one of those outdoor ones.
Right.
I learned throughout the pandemic that any old-fashioned drive-in movie theater were killing it. They were booked all the way through the of 2021. I was just like, we can do that. We can, you know,
right.
Like all kinds of things that would bring business to the surrounding areas around us, so that we bring business to them, so they don't mind having us there and leave us alone, you know, and have us know that we are all like cooperative, like we all are board members and we all help run this village and we all help make it what it is. It's not free, because a lot of people, the first thing they ask you is, oh, I can mow your lawn for you and live there. I said, no, it does not work like that. You have to input as well, because then, you know what I mean? How are we supposed to sustain anybody? So you have to, but putting in 40 to 50,000 plus buying your house is actually relatively not that bad if you can get a good mortgage for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's about the same price as what you're paying for rent in most of the places
that
you're living.
Except for the deposit.
You know, so,
it'd be the same that you're paying for rent.
Except now it's paying the money towards something that you actually own that can be passed on, that, you know, as you get older, we're all there for one another. Everybody with their different paths can be, or traditions can be, celebrating their ceremonies, have their outdoor temples, the indoor ones for the cold weather, have all the different things that make our village survive, you know, have our own farmer, our own doctor, our own lawyer, everything. And like a main strip, that's all the stores that we put out, but they can't go off of the main strip, like the tourists, I mean. They can't go off of the main strip. Off of the main strip is where we live. The main strip is for the tourists to come in and see. You know what I mean? I've actually designed it. And I'm like, I'm
going to
go look for the land this summer. And I'm going to go look for the land this summer, and I'm going to find it. Minimum 100 acres.
I'm sure you will. There are a lot of towns that are depressed and empty. So that might help you on your way. You know, if you can find a town that meets your specifications, you know, because a lot of these towns are not very populated either. And they have a lot of structures already up there. Where we lived in Pennsylvania, there was actually a castle too that eventually became an antique store. But there was this huge castle there in the town. So I'm sure places like that exist. So all you got to do is look around till you find them. We didn't think that ambitiously. We were looking at old campgrounds that had structures. And this way there was like a main house, and then there was cabins, you know, where people can stay for long or short periods of time and, you know, have their own lives. And we went through a lot of the dreams too, some similar to yours, some like slightly different. But yeah, you can have Witches Fest there as well, you know.
I'm not going to give up the one in the city. I'm not giving up the one in the city because that one, we had to fight to get that for the right to be able to do it in New York City. So I'm not giving that up. That's still death to us part kind of a thing. So because we had to fight the city to get that permit for that block. So we're sticking to that. And they love us there. Now that they've gotten so used to us, they love us in the village there. So we're cool. But honestly speaking, I don't mind it being just raw open farmland. If it has one barn or something on the property, I don't care. Or if there's none, I don't care. It may take some time, but at least we can build up our own and create our own. And we decide who live there. People coming in knowing that this is what they're walking into. And it's something that we decide on. No one person does it, but we as a group who have all put in money, we decide, you know, and run our own thing.
It's a beautiful dream. And with all the other things that you've attained, I have no doubt that you'll attain this one as well.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to try it to all my best, like I've always done with everything else. And I say, well, give it a try and see if it works. And somehow it worked out. So let's see what happens with this one.
And there are things like now, like Patreon and GoFundMe and all these other type of things that people might, you know, who can't go there to live in the village but might believe in the need for one could contribute to you.
Yeah, actually. Or you know, we hadn't thought of starting with a GoFundMe. We thought if we can, a lot of it ourselves, the same way that people are starting to buy their homes or different things, but it's a lot cheaper than purchasing other homes that are in a regular village. Because I remember years ago, I had the money to buy a house. I went looking, and I just felt so isolated. Like, who are these people that surround me? They're all, like, none of them are anything like me, and I did not want to. It turned me off entirely. And I stayed in New York City, and I said, okay, everybody here, you know, whether they're all different or not, I still feel comfortable here in New York City. But now as I got older, I think it's more of an older thing.
Uh-huh.
As we get older, we want to find a different place. I own this apartment, but I said I can rent this out, and I want to just go and you know, do something else. I want to do something else and give a Witches Fest that's there as well, like combine the two, you know. Or maybe another event. Who knows?
That'd be great. And if you're doing a tourist place, too, that'll draw in money. Like there's a lot of towns that people go to, like Provincetown comes to mind. And there was a place in Jersey, too, that people go to because it's very witchy. There are haunted towns. And people, if you have a theme, and you maintain the theme, people will come just for the theme. I remember in Pennsylvania, there were railroad events, you know, because people were into their railroads, you know, so car shows. So if you pick something that has a draw, and then you could, like you said, you can invite people in, you can do the main drag, you could even put like hotels or motels on the main drag or a little bit outside of town where people can stay, and then have things going on your main street all the time.
Yeah. We just want to make it where get it to the point where it's self-sustaining, so we don't need help or financially from anyone else. We are self-sustaining, and we know that we all retiring or are able to retire comfortably. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. Not surviving, but actually living.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. That's the concept.
Wow. That is an awesome, awesome concept. And I see you also bringing other things globally, even past the digital. Do you have global dreams?
The what? Which one? I'm sorry.
I can see you, based on our conversations, doing things on a global scale beyond digitally. Do you have any dreams about that?
Not at the moment, I don't think, because it's just like my mind so much is stuck on that village and wanting to make that work. This said beginning this summer, along with Witch's Blast and stuff like that, I was just like, I'm really stuck on that one. I'm saying one dream at a time so that I can actually accomplish it.
Okay.
So I'm kind of stuck right now on that one. And the global part would be anyone that a witch that's visiting from another country, they're always welcome to come there. We may have like a motel or something on our main drag strip or whatever it is that they know that they will need to be there for a short time and then they need to leave. Because the whole concept is you're not part of the, so you need to leave. Privacy for us. It's just, you know, this whole thing about protecting us so much, you know, the idea of we are our brothers and sisters keepers is a big deal to me, because we really don't have a lot of people that we can literally say we can rely on,
mm-hmm.
push come to shove kind of a thing. And that's the reasoning behind it, kind of a thing that we know that we can actually do. And that whole thing of retiring with your pride and your I don't know if I'm saying the words correctly. Retiring in your fashion, not the fashion
right.
that everybody else wants for you or has pinned you into, but in your fashion, the way you want to be.
And I think that's with grace.
I think that's part of it, with grace in your fashion, that kind of a thing.
And you're very busy building that world, and it's awesome that you have so many ways for people to get involved. We have a little bit of time left, and I'd like for you, if you can, to share again your contact information and a little bit more about your event. And this way we leave people with that fresh in their minds.
Okay. So with Witches Fest, again, we are having I'll give that last. It's going to be, there are over 54 presenters with over 100 workshops. The cost is $95, and the $95 is for online, which is Friday and Sunday, all day long, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday is, of course, always going to be free, and that's outdoor on Astor Place between Broadway and Lafayette. And that one is from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Let's see, there's that. And then we have performers from around the world that are joining us online as well as in person. We will offer again some free workshops at the one on Saturday that people are welcome to join us there. That's always been the case there. Let's see what else. And I think I covered everything, right? Performers. Oh, we have vendors, wonderful vendors, and they're all listed on our website, the Magical Marketplace. The vendors, the performers, the presenters. Let's see, I'm trying to think. Anything else you could remind me before I say the contact info?
I think you covered it all. And I see next year you having, advertisements for your village. So I'm excited about that. And I started something new between Facebook and the podcast called Mages, Sages, and Seers. And you're on that show, by the way. But it's
people
who are magical folks who are doing things. I give them more coverage now. There's like a show where people can talk. And also on Facebook, I post their events and their things like that. So I would love to ask you if you'd like me to cover you as part of that as well. And it's what
Absolutely.
I can do to support
Absolutely.
What you're doing. Okay, awesome.
Absolutely. And you guys in access to Witches Fest, it's witchesfestusa.org is the website. That's WITCHS as in Sam, F as in Frank, ESTUSA.org. We'd love to have you guys join us, whether to see the event or be part of the event online as well as in person. We would love to see everyone back out. Come out in your garb. It's a very themed event, dressed as the nymphs, the fays, the sprites, any of those things.
Wow.
Of the, you know, the season of summer, the solstice, that kind of a thing. So the whole idea is dressed in that kind of a theme. So people usually come out dressed in their garb of different types for the summer, and it's awesome. Have fun with it, because we don't want to just go out to an event and just be dressed in our regular garb. We want to be dressed up and just be who we are. So always going to be like that. I think I've covered it all, right?
I believe so, and then some. You've even introduced some new stuff that we didn't talk about before.
Yes. Okay, good. I'm glad.
If you have pictures from last year, too, of people dressed up, I'd be happy to post them and share them as well.
Oh, okay, sure. It's on our website, but I can send you some privately, and you can post it up.
Awesome. And I will ask my wife if she could help me with that picture. I couldn't figure out how to make it bigger, so I sent you some alternate pictures as well, but I'll ask her to fix that one if she can.
I think we did it. That last one you sent worked out fine. We, you know, we changed it up a bit. We have both of those done. Oh, we're good. We're good. You look
thank
wonderful,
you.
As per usual.
Thank you so very much.
And
to
I
you.
Think it's going to be a great, yeah. Thank you so,
so
much
too.
For inviting me.
Thank you for
I
being
really
here.
Appreciate it.
And I'm really looking forward to this. I'm trying to check if I'm also free Sunday for another workshop, but I'm not sure yet. I'll know by this weekend, though. So if you're not all filled up, I might go for another workshop. Star and Raven,
you are
visionary. Yes, they will. And you're an awesome person to speak to. You're
Thank
very
you.
Empowering, and you're an inspiration because of all that you've accomplished. And I greatly honored that you're here, and I look forward to following your further adventures with my audience. Thanks also to
all
everybody.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And thank you to everybody who tuned
all
in,
right.
whether you tuned in live, whether you called in, whether you'll tune in later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And we're going to close in the short time we have left with Virginia Ackley's If You Can Dream.
Yeah.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream. Till it's real.